Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is getting out of hand now. Get a text here, a tweet, excuse me, from a guy who listens to the show all the time. Ryan. Ryan sends a message. Now, he's not working today, but he works at the Shaler Giant Eagle. All right? Along Route 8. He says, and it's just a picture of an alligator in a parking lot. Not very big, but an alligator in a parking lot. And I said, wait a minute. This is in the parking lot at the Shaler Giant Eagle. He says, yep. They caught it this morning over by the pharmacy entrance. I work there, but I'm off today. I was sent the pictures by people there.
Wow.
So the alligator stuff, and big thanks to our friend Ryan, the Shaler Giant Eagle, they caught another alligator in our area. I don't know what to think. Now, I thought the alligator stuff all went away when the Beachview guy kind of got pinched because I thought he was kind of planting them for a while.
Well, at the very least, it was related.
Yeah. Now, though, I don't know. Now, here's the deal. Jim, right where that is across Butler Plank Road or whatever, Pine Creek is right there. Could this alligator have been in the creek and kind of walked up and walked across the road? Could it have come through the back? Because, you know, like Pine Creek goes under the road right there.
Yes, it does.
This is fascinating to me that there's another gator now.
Yeah, I don't think it would have come up like by the get-go and crossed Route 8. That would have been dangerous.
No. The creek goes under Route 8.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Could it have crossed Butler Plank and walked across the parking lot? Or did someone... I need to know this. Did the alligator walk up from the creek or did someone drop it at Giant Eagle out of their car? Like, that is what I need to know.
That seems like a weird... Like, that's the place where you're dropping the alligator?
You know it would be found probably quickly. Like, if you had concern about it, but you couldn't take care of it.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Like, people do it like a baby.
A baby at the firehouse, right?
Right. Uh-huh. One of those sort of things. Now, Megan Schiller is now tweeting our friend Ryan and saying, can I come talk to you for the news here?
Do we have permission to use your media on air?
Yes, your media. Stinking media. 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly.
I'm sorry, can't hold and kill two with one here. He could go out. It's still going to be hot in Shaler, right? It's as hot in Glenshaw as it is anywhere else.
What if the alligator says, they're so damn hot, I'm trying to get to one of those cooling centers.
Get air
too damn
well,
hot
that's what
here.
I want to know. What caused the alligator to come up out of the creek and just drop itself in front of Giant Eagle?
I'm with Colin. I think somebody...
BOGO sales this weekend. Hey, I need a new advantage card.
I need some of that freeze pops.
So anyhow, you know who was hot? I was watching this game live yesterday. It was on the MLB Network, and I was watching the Rays and the Yankees. And Jim, you made a Yankee hat famous, right? You know, I remember you saying
more famous than the Yankee. I've never worn a Yankee hat, but yeah, if I did, I would.
Yes, I remember you saying that at one point. Yeah. Aaron Boone lost his mind early about the strike zone. There's a rookie umpire. His name's Brennan Miller, and he wasn't very good. The strike zone was a little low.
There was a couple
low.
Bad calls.
Gary Sanchez at one time stopped and turned around to him. He wasn't just talking to him. He stopped and he turned and talked to the home plate umpire. So I'm watching this, and they're just losing their mind in the dugout. He comes out, and Boone does, and he just gets into an expletive-laced tirade and gets into the guy. He pitches him out of the game. That said, the talk right now a lot is about robot umpires. Is there so much romanticism with the argumentative side of baseball, the manager and the umpire going at it, toe-to-toe, screaming, throwing their hat down, kicking dirt on them, all that kind of stuff, that because we would lose that, is that part of the reason we don't want to have robot umpires too?
Well, we've already lost it to a certain extent, right? Uh-huh. You don't argue out in safe calls anymore. You just do the earmuff pantomime and, you know, somebody goes to the replay. And and we've adjusted to it, haven't we? Like, you do miss the occasional ump argument, but you still have them. So you still get, I guess, you still get your appetite whetted a little bit by the occasional, like what happened with Boone yesterday, flipping out on the call-up ump. So I don't know. If you completely eliminated arguments, though, which you may do if this were the case, if you went to full robot umps, then, yeah, I think you would miss it.
See, I think that we've already lost it to a large degree because of the replay and the way that you really don't argue with the replay. It kind of is what it is.
Right.
You know, when guys would miss a call, you'd go out and you'd yell and scream at them. It wouldn't get turned over, but you'd just yell and scream at them. Now you go to the replay and it gets changed. So we've lost it, and are we complaining that much that replay, we've lost argument, you know, arguing with base umpires? Are we complaining that much now? That part of the romanticism is lost in the game.
No, because we still get the occasional home plate ump argument like we did yesterday. You know what I'm? You see what I'm saying?
But it's not anywhere near.
It's not the same, no.
Isn't it typically, though, that the only time that you get like a really good manager yelling, well, what could happen yesterday, but where something doesn't go right and then the manager comes out of the dugout after he already gets kicked out a lot of times. That's what happens, right? Clint Hurdle, you know, and then you hear, well, he's going to get his money's worth now. He got ejected. So then you come out and you make a... But you're not going to get back. And, yeah, it's fun to look at the old Earl Weaver turning the hat backwards and kicking dirt and Billy Martin and all those
Lloyd
guys.
Lloyd McClendon stalking off with first base.
Yeah, that's a classic. So, I don't know. I think it's just like anything
else. The regularity,
it's just an evolution of it.
With which that there are arguments and there are managers on the field now has dropped. I mean, has totally dropped.
Oh, drastically.
Dropped. And I don't miss it. Like, it kind of... It's okay for like the glamour, not the glamour. I guess nostalgic reasons is the best way to put it.
Well, theatrics.
It was okay in theatrics. Yes, right. Lloyd McClendon stealing first base, all that kind of stuff. I don't not watch baseball now because that's not going to happen.
Oh no,
it doesn't force me to make the game any less enjoyable.
But it's one of those little things that as baseball continues to evolve. You don't have it anymore. You know, those little progressions and the changes in baseball get you farther and farther away from what it was when you were a kid. And old man story time, that's what you like to see, is baseball as it was when you were a kid growing up watching it.
Let's talk about this next. 412-928-9370. If they went to automation, if they went to calling balls and strikes, what would you miss? Would you miss arguing? Would you miss the umpire? Would you miss kind of getting a strike zone and kind of stealing pitches here and there? Would you miss pitch framing, dare I say? What would you miss if they went to balls and strikes like that and automation? Let's get to that coming up next. All right, just a couple foursomes left, so get on these. Rescheduled Fan Open, Thursday, July 25th. That's just a few days from now. Manor Valley Golf Course, visit 937thefan.com to get yours today. Before we sell out, brought to you by Bowser Chevrolet, Coors Light, Peace Love, Little Donuts, Jigger's Pub, and the Penn Murray. 412-928-9370. So we do talk about this, and Michael McHenry joins us at 9. What would we miss if there was the robot umpires? Would we miss the arguments? Would we miss pitch framing? Would we miss the ump show? You know, would we miss an umpire thinking he was bigger than the game? Like, I'll tell you what I would miss. In some regard, I hate it, but I love it, the personality of the umpire sometimes. Like, I kind of do like sometimes when an umpire looks into a dugout and he's like, that's enough. That's enough. Like, I like the back and forth, but more so, I would like a game to have a standardized set of rules and be called correctly.
That's more important to me. And what I've noticed, this younger generation of umps that's coming up, you know, whether it's the guy who's a call-up ump from AAA yesterday in the Yankees game or, you know, a guy like John Tom Payne. You know, we remember that name because he was that guy who was saved that woman from the bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year, who's a younger guy. They are, I don't want to say they're nameless gray faces, but for the most part, they're very standardized in how they do things. And I much more appreciate that than Joe West calling a ball that's a foot outside on the corner a strike because he doesn't like the way a batter talked to him earlier, or, you know, then getting into it with a manager.
Robots don't have feelings, is what you're telling
exactly.
Me.
They call the game, and that's what you're supposed to be as an ump. As an official, you're supposed to call the game and get out of the way.
All those nuances and those little things and that kind of heartbeat of baseball that is in there with those little moments, I would miss a little bit. But I quickly come around, and I think we're long overdue for robot umpires. I really do, for at least the strike zone. I would miss that stuff for a moment, but then it would quickly be. I would quickly subside. Those feelings would be pushed in the back burner by the fact that you would know what a strike is, you'd know what a ball is, and the game would be much more streamlined for me.
It's the same as the way we've adjusted to not having as many arguments now because of replay. You've just gotten used to it.
There's and less gray and more black and white.
Yeah, and you're just happy with the fact that the calls 95% of the time are right and that they more often than not correct a bad call that's on the field. And that to me is much more valuable than, as entertaining as it is, you know, the Earl Weaver type going out, like Jim said, turning your hat around and kicking dirt on the ump's shoes and all over the plate.
One of the things that I would find very interesting if they went to robot umpires to call balls and strikes are the amount of pitches now that everybody needs to make. You know, there's no more, well, he's a veteran, he's been in the league 14 mm-hmm. years, he gets this call. Or it's 3-0, he's been struggling a little bit, it's close, give it to him, okay. Or it's 3-0, however the umpire feels like he wants to feel that day. It's 3-0, he's been struggling some, he's really got to throw a strike to get back in this. You know,
right?
A strike is a strike, a ball is a ball for everybody.
Yes.
And I wonder what that would do for the younger pitchers, for the older pitchers, what the dynamic would end up being. And I just, to standardize the game like that, I think the hitters would absolutely have an advantage. Without question.
But I think the one thing we saw in that Atlantic League All-Star game where they did have the robo-ump is that the zone is actually called the way it's supposed to be called. So you get a lot more of those strikes, say, at like the top 3 or 4 inches of the zone that some of those hitters said, oh, that's never been. And even some of the pitchers admitted, that's never been called a strike before, but I got it because it's technically within the zone and umpires just naturally, for whatever reason, adjust their zone down.
But there'd be no adjustment. It'd be defined, it would be there,
right,
and it would be a strike all the time.
And then after a while, we'd all adjust to those adjustments. Do you know what I mean? We'd all come back around and we'd get used to watching a baseball game again.
Well, if they did it in the Atlantic League, then spring training should be okay, mm-hmm. right? I mean, in other words, I was trying to think if there's a technological difference between what you'd get, you know, say in Bradenton and what you would get at PNC Park. But no, they'd have a chance to get used to it. But it's coming anyway.
Right.
I agree with you.
May as well, if they're
comfortable that they can pull it off and that it's accurate, then you may as well start as soon as you can.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.